If you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch was probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no, no, no.
Witch Police Radio.
All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. I think lately I've been having a lot of return guests, which is always cool. I always like to follow up with people a year or 2 years, whatever, down the road from the previous interview and find out sort of what's been going on with their music and lives and everything else. And the guest on this episode is someone who is, I guess you're in the Third Timers Club now. This will be your third appearance on the show. And a lot has gone on. We'll get into it for sure. But, you know, since the last time we spoke, you've put out a new record and everything that kind of goes with that has taken place. So I think the best way to start this off is if you want to introduce yourself and give a little information about what you do as an artist.
Yeah, sure. Well, thanks, Sam. Yeah, Fuller Hull. I describe myself as a country folk artist. I'm a singer-songwriter. I call myself a songwriter for second chance because this is my second go-around at this whole music thing. And it's my second album. It started off as a bit of a lark, and it's still fun. So I'm still doing it.
That's awesome.
It's been about 4 years, I think, since I started really taking it seriously this time.
Well, I was at your CD release show, which was fantastic, at the Handsome Daughter, and I was going through some personal stuff. I hadn't been to a show in a long time, and it was just like the perfect event to be at. It was, not all the songs were super upbeat. There's some downers in your catalog, but it was a very joyful event. Like, the whole thing just, it kind of radiated like positivity, which was a great vibe to be in. You knew everyone in the audience. It was this very kind of really intimate, personal feel to the show, and I think that is sort of what your records have as well. And I assume that's kind of what you're going for, is that as if you're singing directly to the listener. And in that case, I mean, you had a band, you had a pretty big crowd, but you were still, it had that kind of really personal feel to it.
Well, yeah, you're right. It's something that the first go around, it was just part of the art, I guess. But this time it's more about the people around me, right? And that the Handsome Daughter was I don't think it was legally full, but it felt jammed, right?
It did.
And it was probably one of the hottest days of the year. I think I lost about 5 pounds just in that hour. A lot of people came out, and a lot of people, as you know, I'm from the country, so a lot of people came into the city, and many of them had not been to the Handsome Daughter ever.
Yeah.
And it was a really good vibe there. The staff and the owners at the Handsome Daughter were great too. I thought maybe it wasn't quite the right venue because they tend to be more known for some heavier stuff, but they were so cool, and they just welcomed me with open arms. So really nice.
That's awesome. Yeah, it definitely seemed like you knew everyone in the crowd, but they knew you as well, and that added to the whole intimate vibe as well. But
yeah, it's good to have a couple of plants in the audience to scream out for you when you need it, right?
For sure. Yeah. You get a whole room full of them, so that's great. With this, I mean, I liked your previous record. I think this record is even better, and we'll obviously get into this record. I'm sure that's what you're hoping too, is that the second record is topping the first one. But as far as the live show goes, I mean, I hadn't seen you live before. I've seen lots of videos online and things like that of you performing, and it's always very solo acoustic sort of setting. And this was full band. You had some of the Heart Sleeve guys on stage with you. You had the stand up bass. You had drums. You had just this whole backing unit, and it was a different feel. Like, it definitely gave sort of more, not that they needed more energy, but like a lot more life to them. And that sounds bad because I don't want to besmirch the solo sound. But it had this like I think it added to the whole feel of it, just this enhanced vibe, I guess.
Yeah. Well, recall that I had the perfect timing to start a new career in music was 2020. So a lot of the work I did was by myself.
Yeah.
And in fact, the past 20 years or so, it's usually just been me in my room or my studio, just sort of really playing for myself, not really going out in public at all. I would do, friend shows and, special occasions like weddings and funerals and meaningful moments. But one of my goals, I guess, is to make sure that I do a little bit more every year. And when I met up with the guys in Heartsleeve, and it was Mike and Matt from Heartsleeve, but also Cameron Denby, he was on drums, and it just really came together. And that was the first time that we played together as a quartet. And that was the first time that I had a full band, because it was always either me and Mike on mandolin or me and Cameron and Karen Nathaniel as a trio. And it was, you're absolutely right. It is a whole different feel. I can only imagine there's more to see, right? There's more to watch because they have their own personalities and they really bring it out. And I was really happy to have them on stage because, again, it's really about the people that I'm working with and making sure that it's on everybody's terms. Like, there's enough about stories about the industry where you're doing things you don't want to do because it's, it's necessary. But I really want to make sure that it's a fun experience, that it's well done, and that people really want to be there. And those guys are just great.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it definitely worked. I mean, like having that, you seemed a lot more, like you suit the frontman role. Well, the energy you had with the songs. I mean, cause I know a lot of these songs are very, I mean, that whole intimate thing again, but they're very personal. They're dealing with very kind of not that they're like super personal subject matter, but they're personal songs in that you're talking about a time and place or there's characters. Yeah. there's a setting. It's all very much in that sort of vein, and then this kind of gave you, I think, a different it gave them a different feel to them, just having that boost in the sound and just the energy on stage too. It I think it changed sort of the meaning of some of the songs, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. It makes a lot of sense because, the songs that I sing are, I guess, more on the ballad side of things. There is not necessarily a chronology to them, but there is a progression and development of character in it.
Yeah.
It sounds a little bit pretentious when I say it like that. It's usually just imaginations that I write down and try to rhyme them. But really, when it comes down to it, when you have the other musicians pulling in from their own backgrounds to pull in a particular riff or a particular feel, it does change the meaning. And, one of the things I did, what I tried to do at that show is I tried to bring, because going to the second album, there's just so many people involved that I wanted to make sure I brought them in as best as I could.
Yeah.
So I started that show off. It was just me and my guitar on the stage. I did a couple songs, and I brought in Mike on mandolin and dobro, and then I brought in Matt on the upright bass, and then we just finished off with the drums, which just blew it up for me because it had the sound, it had the volume, it had the energy, and one of my goals was to go from those more somber singer-songwriter songs to something that's a bit more lively. And I think together we all pulled it off pretty well.
I think you did, yeah. Has this event changed sort of your any of your plans for what's happening in future as far as performing these songs? I mean, just even being in Winnipeg is kind of unusual for you in the sense that you're often playing rural shows.
Yeah, well, I guess in two ways. Number one, it didn't change sort of the plan. It confirmed that I'm going in the right direction because, I do want to get a little bit bigger in a slower way, if that makes sense. Like, I don't want to jump ahead to something that I just drown in. I want to kind of grow it along with the people that are there with me. I was really happy to see that the Winnipeg crowd came out. I do play rural shows. Like I try to, because I'm a rural guy, I try to go to places that may not get music like mine. And the joke is on me because there's always music like mine somewhere around there, and it's pretty cool. But I try to at least go out to places like Gimli and Morton and Brandon and even St. Andrews. You know, it's just a little bit out of the city, but it's a different feel. It's a different audience base, a different interests, different ages. And so when I came into the daughter, it was, I wasn't really sure because, you know, it was a Wednesday night in the middle of summer. And it was really cool to see that. Of course, I pulled a lot of country folk with me into the city, but it was really cool to see a lot of the people out there in the neighborhood just coming in and checking it out and, you know, paying and see something new. I definitely will come back. I want to do it in a measured way. And, you know, I don't overstay my welcome, but I definitely want to come back to the city again and do some pretty cool shows, because there's so many cool venues that I'm just learning about too. You know, I don't even know half of what's out there.
Well, I think,
and that's probably being
playing at the daughter too. I mean, like you said from the outset, it's known for heavy music, right? And here you are doing this country folk thing with a stand up bass and mandolins and stuff, and it worked, right? So I think that there's opportunity kind of everywhere.
Yeah, they invited me back to come again, so that's a good sign, you know.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Rust on the tractor out dead in the field. Rust in the water. We drink with our meal. Just another sign of the last 50 years. Another sign that we're not long for here. Sometimes I don't think we can slow down. Sometimes I don't think we can. Sometimes it feels like we're all long gone. Sometimes we're just caught in a song. They pile a sign at the end of the drive, and I ain't seen one there since the day we arrived. I don't know what tomorrow might bring, but I know that we'll always have our song to sing. Cattle drive ended years ago. Was the last time that fall, but we just didn't know. Don't need to drive down those old roads, but we do when we're out close to home. Some years in October, there's ice on the marsh, and we knew the winter'd be harsh. Some years the sun beats down long and hard, but you get what you get, and you take what you got. They pile a sign at the end of the drive, and I ain't seen one there since the day we arrived. Tears in our eyes, smiles on our faces, and long held goodbyes. The dust on the road kicked up by our tires. Another sign that we're not long for here.
Rust on the tractor out dead in the field. Rust in the water we drink with our meal. Just another sign of the last 50 years. Another sign that we're not long for here. Another sign that we're not long for here.
How long has this record been in the works? I mean, I know your previous one came out, 3 years ago or so at this point?
Yeah, so the first one I started recording in 2020, and I finished it and released it in 21. The songwriting process was 21, 22. We got into the studio in the spring of 2023. And we had it ready, I'd say probably comfortably ready in early 2024. And it was just about staging it to make sure that I was able to deliver it the way I wanted to deliver it. So it took about a year, or just almost a year full to kind of pull those 11 songs together.
How long have the songs been around? Like are some of these songs, I imagine a number of them are new, but I mean, are any of these going back to your... sort of previous era of making music?
Yeah, well, I'm glad you asked, because the first album was a mix of old and new, and you know, that was part of the sort of archiving of songs that I did before. And you know, then as I went to the second album, they were all new. Like they were all songs that I wanted to the kinds of stories I wanted to tell, it all needed fresh material, and I wasn't quite sure where it was going to take me, but it was kind of, as the title suggests, it was sort of unsuspected and unstoppable, and it kind of just it's not a concept album, it's not a theme album, but there's a lot of songs about sort of the country life and the city life and sort of who I was as a kid and who I am now and who I might be in the future.
Yeah. Do you what's the reception been to this so far? I mean, obviously the show from the release show, it seemed like a pretty positive response. But in terms of the actual recordings, you know, it's been out there for a while now. It's on Bandcamp. There's been some CDs out in the world. What are people saying about it?
It sounds negative what I'm gonna say, but it's not. I mean, it's always a bit of a scary time, or maybe even a bit of a letdown when you release it, because you know you're done and now it's out in the world and you got to let it walk on its own. And so it's a bit of trepidation. It kind of was the end of that particular part of the project. And so now I'm kind of struggling to figure out what's next, but, a good response is from my, you know, my true people that have been with me along the way. They've has said it's some new favorites for them, so that's really good. But these are friends and family, and they're very supportive, and they show up and they sing it back to me. You know, so I think it's engaging the people that otherwise should be bored of me by now, right? So that's one thing. But I've shared it with people. Like I shared an early version with you,
yep,
just to get us if. People I've worked with in the industry, others that will remain nameless, sort of gave their two bits on it. And all were fairly comfortable. But I think the true test is I put it up on college radio and CFUR out in Prince George. Like it debuted on the first week, you know, I think it was like 33 or something low down, and it jumped to 11, then jumped to 7. And then,
cool.
You know, it's I think it's down a little bit now, but it's picking up elsewhere, not a lot of places, but you know, I'm a small small artists or small dreams. So it's pretty exciting that other people that are not my friends and family are picking up and they're enjoying it too.
Yeah, for sure.
Bus 44 is late again. I won't get to work on time. It takes so long just to start my pay. And this ride ain't worth a dime. Boss is barking about my attitude. Says I got to try to care. But I'm still thinking about what I'm gonna do when I can get out of there. But I ain't got no plans. Ain't sure just where I stand. All I've got are my hands. Maybe I should start a band. Saw you staring from across the room. Wasn't sure if I should run or fall. Before I knew it, we were in full bloom. And I lost sight of it all. Days to weeks and months to years. Well, time just kind of flew by. Too many smokes and maybe one too many beers. I didn't even have to try. Getting late, but the work is done. It's empty here on bus 44. I'm still trying my best to care. I don't think I can care no more. 'Cause I still ain't got plans. Ain't sure just where I stand. Start that band.
What does a successful album look like to you? I mean, how do you judge? Like you just said, you're a small artist, small dreams. This is again sort of this second wind of playing music after a long hiatus. What is? How do you judge success on a record? Is it just like? Is it things like charting on campus radio? Is it feedback from listeners? What are you looking for?
Well, it's a little self-serving, but one of the indicators of success for me is if I can just improve the craft. Because although I've been doing it a long time, looking back over decades, it was just sort of me doing the same thing. First album was singer, songwriter, indie kind of feel. This is definitely more country western, right?
Yeah.
try to bring in more instruments that I have always wanted to play and never really put the time in to learn them well enough to record them. And so in that respect, you know, the quality of the recording and the partnerships that I come out of that, that's a huge indicator for success. As far as how people respond to it, like, yeah, absolutely incredible that I had a really nice uptick on social media. You know, some of my follower numbers are up and my streams are up and, you know, there's some college charts that are going, and this is all independent stuff and I don't really even know what I'm doing. So I could be doing it all wrong. But the fact that people are out there and are listening, you know, more than once, that's validating. It means that I'm doing something all right. You know, I'm keeping up with what I wanted to do. But ultimately, I use this example for a lot of things, but, you know, there was a time when I was younger and I would be sort of always debating when to leave the party. And, you know, my line is that I'd rather leave a little bit early than be that guy who's should be going home. He's got the lampshade on his head and he doesn't know any better, right?
So yeah.
I think as long as I don't feel like I should be leaving early, then each album as I go on, I want to accomplish certain things that will be different than this one. And if I can keep finding the money to do it and keep finding the time and energy, and I still got the voice and the legs to carry me, then I'm going to keep going.
Cool. And I guess the reason that I asked you the success question is because I think you've made very clear sort of every time I've talked to you, and just in your general sort of way you present yourself as an artist, is that this is something you're just doing because you want to do it. It's not something you're expecting to make you know, some kind of a celebrity. And this is, again, it's your second attempt at playing music, and it's obviously working out the way you want it to, but you don't seem like I talk to a lot of bands who are, you know, they're looking 5 years down the road and they're expecting to be touring, you know, North America or whatever. And I don't get that vibe from you, but I think you're okay with that, right?
You know, there is sort of the pipe dreams and the blue sky, and you know, I'm planning for those.
Yeah,
but you know, I've been kicked around enough that, you know, things don't always work out how you want it, right? So I just take joy in the fact that I'm able to do this, and people are inviting me back, and that is right now the baby steps I got to take. And there's a lot of people in the industry in Winnipeg, in Manitoba, who have been doing this a lot longer than me and are way better. They've got better contacts. They've got better skills, and they're doing it for the love of it too. And I figure if I can learn from that, then that's what I'm going to do. And as long as I love it, and in fact, that's one of the reasons why I left the first time around was I didn't understand really what the industry was. I didn't take the time to learn about it. I didn't understand the business side of it. And so when I got paid in the change from the till, it was weird, right? So I felt that maybe I wasn't ready for it. But you know, I've always been a late bloomer. So here we go.
Yeah. Well, it's like, obviously you're still running with it, which is great. I mean, do you, what's sort of in the near future for you, as far as plans? I mean, I know, like you said, these songs are kind of done now, the record's out, it's out of your hands, and then you have to start thinking about the follow-up. But where are you with that? Is that something that's even sort of being considered at this point, or is it just a far off in the future kind of deal?
Yeah, well, the boring part is that the songs are right now only available on the disc or on Bandcamp.
Yeah.
And in full. And so I'm slowly releasing them out on the streaming services because I'm trying to do it a little bit different than what I did my first album. I just put them all up there and then let it ride. And so now I'm just trying to use that for more of the hard work of content generation, everything else, and the other marketing, which is really boring, but is necessary. You know, you gotta ask people to listen, otherwise they won't know you're there. So that is still alive, and I figure that I think my schedule has me releasing the last song somewhere early next year.
Okay.
And so then, but I still have a couple of shows to play for this sort of mini Atoba tour for their album release. You know, I'm in Brandon on September 20th at Lady of the Lake, and I'm doing a show with Heart Sleeve out in Balmoral, Manitoba.
Cool.
in November. And there might be another one I'm going to go where to confirm, but it's slowing down a little bit. And so I'm going to get back into the writing season and just start. I've got a fair amount of songs that are just half done or just concepts, and I want to pull those out, and so that'll go into recording next. In terms of, you know, the back to the question about touring and whatever's in the future, I'm testing it out. You know, touring is a hard grind, I'm told, and you know, I still have a lot of obligations with me, including the day job, young kids, farm animals, you know, chores that I got to do and all this stuff. So I'm not ready to do that, but I did do a sort of a quick test out to Saskatchewan last fall, and that was really cool. I just did a 2-show run, and it was, I would totally do that again, right? And I really enjoyed it. This summer was, again, this mini tour was a chance to make sure that I could actually keep up with the young bucks and make sure that I can do the multiple shows in multiple days.
Yeah.
And that's working. So I think once I kind of arrange myself, that I would certainly like to go off further and longer, but, you know, we'll take that when it comes.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
The next album, in terms of the next album, I've got a couple of ideas. It's probably going to be a bit more, it's similar to the sort of country Western feel I got right now, but, there's some other things that I want to experiment with as well. So we'll see how it develops, and again, see how much money I have to play with.
So yeah, that's always important, the budget, right? How did you link up with the Heartsleeve guys in the first place? Because I had no idea that they were going to be in your backing band. And then as I'm watching the show, I start to recognize, wait, I know who that is. Like, they were on my show a few years back, and they're great. I mean, they have their own thing for sure. But it was a cool combination.
Yeah, so there's a neighbor of mine who's his name's Max, and he plays with J.R. Sharon.
Okay.
You know, and our kids go to school together. So we were at, I think it was actually at one of the school band concerts that we kind of met up. And I was just asking, and it was around the right time. I said, you know, do you know any musicians who are interested to play some more folky type instruments, right? And he said, well, and he was actually recording, I think, Heartsleeve, or working with them or subbing for them anyway at the time. And so on one of the songs, How Far, which is not song number, I think six on the new disc, I asked Heartsleeve to back it up completely.
Yeah.
So it was just me and my vocals and my guitar, and they had every other instrument. So I gave them the song, and they just did their magic, and they came back and they just killed it. And I didn't realize how much I liked it was pedal steel, because Mike Erb, he does pedal steel and mandolin and dobro and
bass
mandolin as well. So I asked him to join me up on some other instruments. And so we started playing in January of this year. And a funny story about that is, when I had him over, it was just after New Year's Eve, and we had an early birth on one of our sheep, and we weren't expecting it. So rather than play, he helped me take this sheep to the vet and figure things out. So it was sort of a trial by fire, farmer to farmer kind of approach. And anyway, long story short is we just started to really jive. And then we started playing shows together. And then when I was planning the Handsome Daughter, Matt Chaput, who's the upright bass player for Heartsleeve, he said, yeah, I'm 100% in. And then Cameron, I had, and Kiara, his partner, we had played together in Steinbeck a few years ago. So it was kind of a no-brainer to have him, because he knew the songs already. So we just kind of connected that way. But Heartsleeve is great, because they're almost everywhere. Like, they're really a supportive group. They help a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of independents just sort of fill out their sound. And they're really a top-notch crew.
Yeah, they're great. They're great. That that sheep story is definitely not something that a city artist is going to experience, I don't think.
Oh, it was mortifying for so many, because you know, the animal, the ewe was in labor for quite some time, and it was like, I wanted to play music, but you know, the sheep needed attention, and it was above, beyond my skill. I mean, I've gone through dozens of births before, but this one was a little bit twisted, so I had to get professional help. And Mike was right there with me to help me out. So once I knew he was ready to do the heavy lifting on that kind of stuff, I said it was no brainer to have him as a partner.
Yeah. Right?
Sure as snow, I'll drive home,
bright as rain, but I'm gone too long. Wild as flowers in the spring, dry as dust it covers me. I'm never where I wanna be. But I can be a golden boy, I can be your broken toy, I can be just what you need, I can be the one to lead. I'm never where I wanna be. I know I've been gone too long, and I know that I've done you wrong. I'm still singing that same old song, but I'm all alone. Just like the blazing prairie sun and fallen leaves when autumn comes, they'll bleach and cover up the bones, turning hearts into stone. Cold sleep, I'm never where I wanna be. But I can be your daddy dear, I can be the one to steer you clear, I can be your last best friend, I can be there till the end. You see, I'm never where I wanna be. I know I've been gone too long, and I know that I've done you wrong. I'm still singing that same old song, but I'm all alone. Been gone too long, and I know that I've done you wrong, and I'm still singing that same old song, but I'm all alone. Yeah, I'm still all alone.
Does that like farm? I mean, I know you mentioned earlier, and it's obvious, I think, in your songs too, that the rural country life is very present as a character and as a setting in your music. But does that like, do you get direct inspiration when you're on the farm dealing with animals, going about your day? Does it tweak something, or is it sort of something that comes
100%, 100%. You know, like I had the song with JD Edwards called "Old Haymaker," and you know, JP Peters, who produced the album with me, he was just thinking, you know, I wanted like a really mean, nasty harp sound to kind of mimic part of the machinery that, sure, that I work with, right? And he said JD Edwards, so we brought JD in, and he just laid it on thick, and it's just like the whole song is about making hay, and you know, it literally talks about the kind of tractor I drive and the kind of equipment I have, and you know, that's not for everybody, right? But it is one of those things that that is a direct inspiration for me. And it's really in that particular case, that's like, I got some older uncles that are just giving up the job, like they're giving up making hay. And so in many ways, it's to honor them, because they've been doing this all their life and they actually know what's going on. It's just me trying to tell their story in a way that they would never tell it, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Do you think, does... would you have some of these, would the songs be the same if you were living somewhere else? Like, I mean, how essential is sort of where you are in the world to the sound, to the overall sound of what you're doing?
I can only say probably not. But, you know, when I do reflect upon songs from my youth, like two songs from the album are good examples. There's one called Kimberly Hill and one called Bus 44. And Bus 44 in Winnipeg Transit goes right next to Kimberly Hill.
Right.
And the Bus 44 song is about that bit of freedom I had as a kid that I never would have had because we lived at the end of the bus route. And the only way to get downtown was Bus 44. And once I got to downtown, it was a whole different world than this sort of suburb I was living in. And it would take me past Kimberly Hill, which was a whole different kind of freedom because you got to the top of this hill, which is an old, you know, garbage dump. And there was a lot of good and bad stuff that happened around that hill. You know, we went to school around there. So the place that I grew up in or the place I'm living now certainly has an impact. And, you know, I was living in Japan for a while and the songs I wrote there were different.
Like, yeah.
It absolutely is important. And what I'm trying to reflect is a little bit of the story of the land we live on. And it doesn't quite come across as good as I wanted to yet, but the stories themselves are compelling. And I think it's because I'm more connected with the people around me, even though I often got my hands in the dirt more days than not. I still think about the people more than I think about the property, if that makes sense.
It does. And I think a lot of your songs too, even if someone has not experienced the direct thing you're talking about, there's a universality to it. I mean, that Kimberly Hill song, I grew up in a different part of the city, but we did the same. We went to Garbage Hill, you know, the same, basically the same idea, right? And I could definitely see my own childhood doing some of those things in that song.
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned Garbage Hill because when I was just got my driver's license, we heard there was this other hill, and it was way the heck across town. So we went to find it, and it was like a different vibe, but it was in many ways much more culturally significant because of all the music festivals they used to have there and everything else that was going on. So like at Kimberly Hill, there was soccer fields and sledding and schools. There was no kind of cultural activities around it. It might've been a little bit bigger, but it may not have been as memorable in other people's eyes, you know?
Yeah, for sure. But like I said, I mean, I was listening to that song and I'm thinking of Garbage Hill. Kimberly Hill, to me, I know of it, but it's not, I don't have a personal, but Garbage Hill I do. And I think everyone has sort of, not necessarily a hill built out of a trash dump, but anywhere, no matter where you are, you have some kind of connection to that sort of experience.
There's a place, you know, there's a place that everybody figures out and, you know, it can be something different for everybody. And I'm hoping that, you know, I don't think I'm special at all. I think that a lot of the things that I say are probably pretty universal, but I also don't try to speak for others because, you know, my story is different. And even if it's a little bit different, it's still just for me to tell. I can't really speak for other people.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
They have their own story to tell as well. And
what's the best way for someone to hear this? I mean, I know you mentioned a few minutes ago about the slow release on the streaming services, but if someone wants to hear your music now, Bandcamp, I imagine, would be the best option, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you there's some bootlegs video during live shows, and they're putting it on social media, so that's out there. But for the full kind of song one to song last experience, Bandcamp it's free, right? I don't even think you have to log in, but you can create an account, and there's a whole bunch of other artists that have their stuff on there. And what I like about Bandcamp is that you don't have to buy anything if you don't want to. There's no subscription.
Yeah.
You can just listen to it. But if you do feel compelled to help out a guy like me, then you can be comfortable to know that, you know, the lion's share of that funding that goes to through the app comes back to me to help with the next album or the bills or whatever. The streaming services are necessary. You know, I don't, like, nobody gets a lot of money from that. There's hardly any money on that, but they are universal. Like, I'm on Spotify. Friends are on Apple Music. It's anywhere you find your streaming music. And I think I got about four songs out so far. I will release them all. But if you want an early look, then just find me on Bandcamp and check it out for free.
Awesome. And then what's the best way to find out what you're doing as far as upcoming shows? You know, I'm sure I said this last time too, but because it's a podcast, someone could hear it the day it comes out, or they could hear it 2 years from now.
Yeah, for sure. Fuller Hall CA is the best place. That's my website. And at fullerhall.ca, there's just basically everything you need to know. I'm not as good as keeping it up as I want to be, but that's part of the administration of the hidden administration of all this musical wonderment that we have. Yeah. But I have, you know, you can find all the shows that are upcoming. There's also samples of songs on there if you wanted to get a quick taste. And, you know, if you really like it, you can just sign up and follow, and you'll be the first to hear whatever's going on. I try not to send out too many emails, but if there's something like a big show or something coming out, then I'll just send you a quick little email and let you know that I'm still alive and kicking.
And then how do people get hold of the physical albums? I mean, are they available through Bandcamp as well, or is that just through your website?
They will be. They will be for sure. The first one's up there. I just have to get my button gear and get the next one up there. They can just email me as well. And, you know, when I sell them live, they're $20 a piece. They're the same amount on Bandcamp, but I think the... I have to double check. I think that's all postage in and everything else, okay. Unless you're in a faraway place. But basically, I try to keep it flat. And you know, there's other merch on there as well. I don't have a lot because it takes money to make money in that regard. But there's a couple of T-shirts that that have proven popular, so I kept those around. And you know, every little bit helps to get this next album out.
Yeah, definitely. Right on. Well, I'm glad you're still doing this. I mean, I'm thank you again for inviting me to the release show. Like I said, it was very. A very joyful experience, I think. Like, I hadn't been to a show of any kind in quite a few months at that point, and it was just like very immersive, sort of positive feel to it. And it really was. I was very happy when I left the show, and that's what you want to be, right? I was in a good mood. I wanted to, and my friend who came with me too, Sean from the Sean Geek podcast, he was also really pumped. He'd never heard you before, and he was really into it as well. So yeah, it was just a really great time.
I'm really glad you were there, and I'm glad you brought Sean. You know, one of the things that I think that came out of that show, which really spoke to me, was that number one, I just had to get over myself in terms of being embarrassed of asking, and just say, "Hey, do you want to come? You want to come to my show?" and just ask. But I really wanted to focus on people who showed support before, to give them. Just include them in that part of the party, because it was it's the first album didn't have an album release because of the timing, and this is my real first one ever doing it, so having you there was and just as if I can say, you know, one of the wicked things about this province we're in is, you know, I called Private Ear and they came. I called you, who interviewed me before, they came. You know, I called other people who supported me, and they came, and they didn't have to, you know, they really showed up and supported. And I think that what you were feeling in there was a little bit of loyalty, a little bit of commitment, and a real good camaraderie against people that, like, between people that may have never met each other. But my goal was to bring everybody together and just sort of, hey, you know, have a couple of beverages and let me show you what I can do.
Yeah, I think you pulled it off. I think you definitely pulled it off.
I really appreciate that. Thanks so much, man. I really appreciate that.
It's a garbage gold mine, a landmark in town. Climb high up above it all, and take a good look around. Soccer fields and baseball diamonds, winter sledding and toboggan sliding down Kimberley Hill. Down Kimberley Hill. Hanging around till the darkness comes.
Oh, graffiti, TLFE, J&J. Holding memories of holding hands. And love's long faded away. And fumbling around by the skating rink. Who cares what other people think? Out by Kimberly Hill. Out by Kimberly Hill. Growing older ain't like growing up. From golden bears to reavers. Finding out life ain't black and white. But trying hard to stay believers. Cutting classes and climbing fences. And trading skateboards for cars. Parked out by Kimberly Hill. Parked out by Kimberly Hill. Smoke shows on a sunny day. Roll down the windows and drive away from Kimberly Hill. Away from Kimberly Hill. Goodbye, Kimberly.